We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ron, let's go right back out to the Hall and Capitis fan hotline to an old friend, Ken Campbell of the Hockey News. Ken, we appreciate you taking the time. How are you?
I'm well. I hope everybody's staying safe and getting through all of this craziness in the world.
Where are you, Ken? It sounds like you're inside of a washing machine with the lid over you.
That's okay. I was just in another room in my house, and now I'm moving. So. How's that?
That's good.
Is that better?
That's better. Yes, right. Yes. It's good. It's good to talk to you. First reaction to this 24-team playoff format. Is it fair? Is it good? Is it the best format they could have come up with?
I think it is. I think it's okay. I mean, I'm a real traditionalist. I think that, you know, even when the NHL goes to 32 teams after next season, I think the playoffs are fine the way they are. The structure is fine. 16 of the 32 teams. I think it should be an accomplishment to make the playoffs. I think it should be difficult to make the playoffs. And I think all the games have to be meaningful. So under normal circumstances, I'm a 16-team guy. I know there's been a lot of talk of expanding the field. I'm not a big one for that. I would rather see it just stay at 16 teams. But I get this one. I get it. I mean, you know, the league is, you know, there's a $1.1 billion shortfall of revenues right now that has to be made up by the league and the players. And, you know, these are not normal times. So I'm okay with the way it is now.
Ken, we're confused on how it's going to work. These top four byes are going to play each other. And is that going to impact seeds for the rest of the playoffs? And does that not just totally minimize what they did in the regular season, if that's the case?
Well, yeah, I mean, they are going to do that. But I think the more the purpose of it is to give those guys some playing time before the second round of the playoffs, because, you know, all the play-in teams will have come through a 5-7-3, who knows how many game series, and whether it's going to be best of five or best of seven, they're going to have just come through a series, and, you know, they're going to be competitively ramped up after a couple of months of being off, and the teams that were sitting waiting for them are sort of, you know, just sort of getting into that. So I think it's more to keep those teams engaged and to keep them sharp, and then they'll seed them 1-4, I would assume, based on, you know, sort of a round robin format for that tournament, and then away we go. So I mean it doesn't completely mitigate what they did during the regular season, because they are getting that bye. You know, if you finish in the top four of your conference, you're getting that bye into the next round. So so there's that.
Ken, excuse me, Joe, I want to just follow that up real quickly. But teams don't want to buy, do they, after being off for 3 or 4 months? Don't they want to play and not have to sit around again for, you know, I get it. I wish they had just started with 16 teams and then make the regular season mean something. And I certainly get they got to get it going here. But teams don't want to buy, right? So that's kind of punishing them, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure if they don't want to buy. I mean, would you want to have to play a playoff series that you didn't have to play?
After I sat out for 4 months, I think I don't want to buy. I want to play.
Yeah, I don't think I would want to. I mean, these guys are the best players in the world. You know, they're keeping in pretty good shape in their homes for the most part. They will have had a training camp. They will have had 3 weeks to get their legs under them. You know, I mean, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal situation. But for me, if a 5-12 team is going to win the Stanley Cup, they're going to have to win 5 playoff rounds. You know, I'd rather only have to win four if I were one of those top teams. And plus, I mean, let's remember, these are the top teams for a reason. They've demonstrated themselves to be the best teams over the course of the regular season. So really, I mean, you should be able to beat those teams. If you want to win a Stanley Cup, I think, you know, I don't think it's a very good excuse to say, you know, well, we're going to be rusty or we might face a really good goalie or whatever. If you're not good enough to win in this format, then you're not good enough to win, in my opinion.
Ken Campbell of the Hockey News. Well, let's get to that then, the format itself. I don't have a problem with any of this except for one aspect of it, Ken, and that is the NCAA tournament style seedings. Why wouldn't you reseed? Why should, for example, the Bruins, if the Canadians beat the Penguins, why shouldn't the Bruins, if they maintain the top seed, have the right to play the 12th seeded Canadians? That just seems odd to me.
Yeah, well, I think that that's one of those things that I think is going to be is being looked at right now. I don't think that that's actually been set in stone, and I think that that's come up, and I know that that's been a big topic of conversation, reseeding teams, you know, after each round, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it ends up. But again, you know, to me, it's like, I mean, I think that's the best way to go. However, you beat the team that's put in front of you, you know? I mean, 2 years ago, the Winnipeg Jets and the St. Louis Blues, or sorry, the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators played in the second round. They were the number one and two teams in the NHL, you know? One of them was going home after, you know, before the halfway point of the playoffs. So it's not perfect. Nothing is. But, you know, I'm a big one for you play in the environment you put in, you beat the teams that are put in front of you, you take care of business, and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Ken, what do you think the future of the game is? Forget about just after this year. What is going to happen economically with these contracts?
Well, I think, you know, you're looking at a number of scenarios. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows what next year is going to look like yet because we don't know when there's going to be a vaccine. There probably won't be people in the stands until there is a vaccine. And that's not coming anytime soon. So the NHL, I'm sure, will push next season to as far as they can to, you know, maybe December or even the new year to try and get people in the building. But I see some, you know, I mean, there's some really dire situations here. I wouldn't want to be a free agent coming up for this year, that's for sure. I can see possibly a rollback. You know, a league-wide rollback in salaries the way they did after the lockout in 2004-2005. You know, there will be huge escrow. You know, it's going to play havoc with the economic landscape. There's no question about it. And I think that's part of the reason why the league and the players want to get this year in, you know, why the players are on board with it, because they're on the hook for half of that as well. So, you know, if they can recoup a couple of $100 million in sponsorship and advertising, you know, by playing the playoffs this year. And the big thing too is that if they do finish this season, then their broadcasting agreements won't roll over a year. So they won't have to basically make up a year. So there's a lot on the table, and there's a lot at stake, and there's going to have to be some kind of very serious economic adjustment here, because, you know, players complain about escrow now, and their escrow is somewhere between 12 and, you know, maybe 18% or whatever. That's going to look like a walk in the park if this ends up being a worst case scenario.
Ken Campbell of the Hockey News. So, Ken, are you confident that we are going to see a Stanley Cup champion crowned? And when do you think, if you are confident that this is going to happen, when do you think that the games will begin?
I think there's a will. I'm not 100% sure there's a way. If it can be done, it will be done. The NHL desperately wants to get this season in. They've made that very clear in everything they've done and all of their actions. I mean, they rolled out phase two of the return to play yesterday. The NHL wants to play. I'm not 100% sure they're going to be able to. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to control all the things that are out of their control in terms of logistically putting this thing together. I'd peg it. I'd I did, and I will still peg it probably at 50-50. I'm probably being a lot more of a pessimist than a lot of other people. But if it can be played, it will be played, and I would suspect that, you know, sometime in July and wrapping up sometime in September.
Ken, do you like the two pods, you know, having it in maybe Vegas and somewhere else? Do you like that concept?
Well, I think that's the prudent one. I mean, I think you go to two places where, you know, the curve's been flattened and you isolate everybody together, you know, and I guess they're going to have some sort of, you know, plans to bring in families at some point and that sort of thing. But I think putting everybody together in two places would certainly, you know, be a good way to kind of keep things quarantined and under control and localized. So, yeah, I mean, that's as good as any. I mean, if you're not going to be playing in front of fans, it doesn't really matter where you're playing. So, you know, I mean, if it's Vegas and Edmonton or Vegas and wherever, I don't know. But, yeah, I think that, you know, that's a good idea. I know the NHL was looking at four pods at one point and brought it down to two because I think it makes it logistically a lot easier to do it if you have the facilities and you have the, you know, the infrastructure in place to be able to put everybody up and to do this. And yeah, I think they're on the right track for sure.
Ken, when you mentioned 50-50 and the obstacles at hand, what do you see as the major ones? Are you referring to guys getting in here from Europe? Are you referring to what's happening at the border with Canada and the United States? What are the major obstacles in your mind?
Well, I think that's one of them. I think that's one of them for sure. I think the possibility or the, you know, the threat of a second spike is another one. I think testing is something that they're going to have to do. And I mean, the NHL has made it very clear. And I think the NHL has done a tremendous job here. I think they've planned this very, very well. I think they're doing all the right things. I think they're asking the right questions of the right people. And they're listening to what those experts are saying. And they've been very, very adamant that they don't want to put a drain on public resources in terms of, you know, testing and equipment and all that sort of thing. And they also will be complying with every level of health authority that there is. And, you know, so that's federal, state and in Canada provincial, and then local. And they all have to be on board. And that's a lot of hoops to have to jump through in order to do it. And, you know, if they remain true to that sort of promise that they're going to do that, you know, that's not going to be easy. So then testing, what if somebody tests positive? What if, you know, what if there's another outbreak? You know, I've talked to some people in public policy and that, and they've said, you know, this is a good plan. They're doing all the right things, but, you know, I mean, something may come up 2 weeks before that nobody envisioned before, and it might set things back or cancel it or scuttle it. So, I think you sort of plan, what is it? You hope for the best and you plan for the worst. I think that's what the NHL is doing in this case, and I think it's a pretty prudent thing.
Ken, you mentioned, and this is a question I think for all these things, I haven't seen anybody actually come out and say, what happens if two guys on one team, three guys on one team, you know, test positive? Have you heard anything about what they're thinking of doing with that?
Well, I know that they've said that even if two players on the same team test positive, it doesn't mean they have to shut everything down. They'll quarantine those guys. They'll treat them. They'll have to be, you know, 14 days and without symptoms or something. You know, they'll go through all the protocols. But we saw with the mumps a couple of years ago, and you guys saw it in Pittsburgh. You had a front row seat for it. You know, when something like this starts to spread, it can be very problematic. And I don't know if they know what they'll be able to do if there's an outbreak on one team when, you know, if five guys get it or, you know, half the team is wiped out. I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's one of those ones where you know, the NHL said it right from the start. Everybody's been saying it right from the start. There is no 100% foolproof method here. There's not. And even in phase two yesterday that the NHL rolled out, they said, you know, nothing is guaranteed here. that there's no, you know, there's no way we can keep this to 0% infections or guarantee that we can keep it to 0% infection. And they said, you know, outcomes range from very mild to in some cases death. So you can't eliminate that. You can't, and they won't be able to eliminate that without a vaccine. What they can do is try to mitigate it as much as they possibly can and reduce the chances of it happening, which I think they're doing. I think everything they've done has pointed in that direction. And I think you have to remember, too, that you're dealing with very, you know, for the most part, very young, very fit, very healthy people. So they are typically in a sort of a lower risk group. So I think that's something that they have going for them as well.
A couple more minutes here with Ken Campbell of the Hockey News, veteran hockey writer. I see this Eastern Conference round robin with the top four seeds as an avoid the Penguins round robin, honestly, Ken. I mean, they're the fifth.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, when I look at who else is in the play-in round, the Penguins are going to get Gensel back. They're going to have their 30-something stars rested and healthy. Who's the favorite in this thing?
Who's the favorite? Well, I mean, I still think that the Boston Bruins are the favorite. I think that over the 85% of the regular season that was played, they were a team that from beginning to end, I mean, I think they lost once in their first 12, once in regulation in their first 12 games. There hasn't been a team from the beginning of the season to the end to when the season was cut off that was a better, more consistent team than the Boston Bruins. They were the best team in the NHL through that period of time. And you know, there were teams that went up, there were teams that went down. Tampa started out so terribly and then turned it on. You know, teams have been up and down, but I think Boston was the team that demonstrated that they were the best team in the NHL this year. And you know, I mean, I agree with what you say about Gensel and all their stars and everything, but everybody's going to be on equal footing there as well. I mean, a rested and healthy, you know, Patrice Bergeron going down the stretch here, you know, playing in this tournament, I think is great for the Bruins. They have no flaws. They have no organizational flaws. They're stacked at forward. They've got great depth on their third and fourth line. Defense, they've got, you know, an excess of NHL defensemen. Goaltending, we know how good their goaltending is, and they've got arguably the best line in the world, the best top line in the world. So I would still pick them, but if there's going to be a year where somebody comes up and wins this thing that we don't expect, you know, you would think this is the year. Like, who knows if Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg doesn't, you know, carry them, or even like a Darcy Kemper in Arizona. I mean, you know, a goaltender like that can take you a long way. I'm not saying they would win it, but they might surprise a lot of people along the way as well. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people have been concerned about the matchup that the Penguins are going to have in the first round against Carey Price. I personally don't share that concern. I mean, he hasn't played well in the last couple of years, but he's a guy that could get hot at the right time and stone a team and carry his team a long way as well.
Ken, we see, you know, the New York governor's opened up camps and facilities. The New Jersey guy just announced it, I guess, this morning. What are you hearing about the Canada-United States border, and is that one of the many hoops you're talking about that the NHL has to jump through?
Well, it's closed to non-essential travel until, I believe, January 21st. That was the latest extension that they agreed upon. Not January 21st, June 21st, sorry.
Right.
I think the NHL is working with to see if there's a way they can maybe expedite that a little bit. You know, but I think right now with phase two, it's not that big a deal because, first of all, phase two is voluntary. They don't have to be here right now reporting and working out with their teams. And secondly, I think another thing the NHL's done that's been really, really good and really smart is they are allowing players that are in other cities to use the facilities. Like, say you're a native of Toronto and you came back here to wait out the pandemic, and you know you play in Pittsburgh or you play in St. Louis or wherever, you can go to the Leafs facility, and if they have the you know, the scheduling's okay and they have the manpower to do it, you can go and work out there as well. So I think right now still, you know, they're still in a decent spot. But as we get closer here, it's obviously these issues are obviously going to become a lot bigger.
Ken, thank you for taking all that time with us, and hopefully at some point we'll be talking about actual hockey.
Yeah, maybe we'll actually even sit six feet away from each other at the Stanley Cup Final or something. I don't know.
You never know. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.